Hello, and welcome to the Scotchcast for the week of May 9th, 2015. I had to do quick math in my head of which month was five. my name is Thurbleton. Joined with me is Cynic. That was a little chuckle you heard.
Hopefully not as robot-y this week. We'll find out. We'll see.
Indeed. And also, New Brahma.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
New Brahma is attempting to just be all robot.
Yo, I'm a rapper. Skibbity badoop bop doo bop bop.
We'll jump into what we've been playing and news topics. We should not be going on this tangent because we do have a lot to cover and not a lot of time to do it in. But have either of you guys seen Ex Machina? I have not yet.
Not yet. It's not even out here yet.
Okay.
God damn it. But it's I have seen Avengers, though.
I don't see like the robot uprising as a thing that's going to happen.
Really? I think
maybe.
Yeah, I think it's. I don't think it's going to be a thing. I think we've had enough cautionary tales that scientists are aware of many of the loops they need to go through. Unless someone like does the thing that I suspect that movie is about and like falls in love with a robot or some shit and like sets her free.
Well, I mean, that's pretty. I mean, people fall in love with games on the Nintendo DS and Sonic, so it's not that crazy.
People or you? I don't. I'm not sure we're actually talking about the same thing here.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Don't let New Brahma near AI.
I don't like Sonic. Maybe the DS thing, but Sonic. That's not me. Okay.
I don't know. I can see like a robot becoming sentient and maybe seeing that we're not like worth it and trying to destroy all of us, but. Like a mix between like the Matrix sort of thing of the, like it will just end up shooting itself in the foot somehow, possibly killing all of humanity in the process. But I don't see robots actually becoming the rulers.
I think either it would be probably humanity gets eliminated or the robots are just normal.
I am personally all for like
humans. That's such a waste. They would just kill all the humans, wouldn't they?
I'm all for cyberpunk future and just like. Deus Ex, sort of like, you know, robot implants or like, you know, cyborgs and stuff.
Deus Ex, that's a very depressing world.
Well, hopefully we'll get to revisit that depressing world in the new Deus Ex game. Bringing it back to video games.
I don't think it's depressing. I think that it's just depicting the transition period. Like 100 years after Deus Ex finishes, shit's back to normal. Like, maybe like half the population have implants, but people no longer give a shit. It's like just part of normal living. Mm-hmm. But during that transition period, it will be inevitable that the people with implants will obviously rise to the top.
Something else I think is kind of interesting is like, again, I am a huge fan of the first Deus Ex. And the ones like the last one that came out, Human Revolution, as well as the prequel, both look very neat and tell an interesting story and all that. They look too future-y considering that the first game looked just like everyone was just a hobo and no one had these future outfits. I don't know.
I fucking love the future outfits. I also love the hobo stuff. I don't know.
It's future hobos.
Future hobos. That's definitely part of the new one because you see them in the trailer.
New Brahma, what either future hobo things have you done or any, like, have you done anything cyberpunkish, like possibly messed around with changing computer parts?
Oh,
trying to segue.
Yeah, nice one there. Okay.
Actually, is this your first ever PC build, or is this?
No, like my first ever PC build was when I was like 12 or something like that. This may be like
I
my
mean
third
for,
or fourth,
like
for myself.
You
yeah.
with your
yeah.
own money. Yeah.
Oh, with my own money. Well, then this is not my first PC build ever.
What?
This is not a PC build of my own money. I just want to point that out.
I thought it was.
It was money that was entrusted to you.
Part of it was my money. Part of it was my money. It's just because I'm pretty strained in terms of finances because I'm going on a trip to Europe this summer. So I got it footed. But essentially, yeah, I was a bit short on a budget. So I ended up retooling a hard drive my CPU, which is a Sandy Bridge i7 2600K. From my old computer, and then I grabbed a 650-watt power supply from my old computer from, like, 2008. So hopefully it doesn't explode and then kill me because
650.
I'm worried. Yeah, 650-watt is fine. It just – yeah, so I got it on the cheap, but somehow I got like a 960, which is decent. And I'm hoping to upgrade that in the next 2 years just to stay on top of everything.
960 is pretty solid. It's pretty much the same as a 870, I think.
Yeah. I also got a free copy of Witcher 3. So
hopefully
I won't be playing that like all of the other Witcher games. I have all of the Witcher games now, and I haven't played any of them. It's great.
It was a horrible moment when I saw the free copy of Witcher 3 with a 970 or 80 like posters around the Inderbutts. And I was like, oh, I should just buy a 970. And then I realized I have an R9290.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
no, that's not.
This is working far too well. Like,
yeah.
They almost got me to buy a $60 game with a fucking $300 graphics card.
Yeah.
Jerks. Oh. Jerks.
Well, it was good because, like, the other option was, like, $50 for Strife or something. So I'm glad I got the right card. It's, like, some awful free to play game. So I mean, I lucked out in not being fucked by getting something bad, like, but I mean, like it's questionable whether I'll actually play Witcher 3.
Someone on Giant Bomb was asking, because everyone's now looking at the upgrade path because we're getting Witcher 3, I assume, everyone en masse. That's going to be the internet's next big game. I think that a lot of people, absolutely. It's the only good game to come out this year so far.
Other than GTA 5.
Except for Bloodborne. Well, GTA 5, I guess, if you're a PC-only guy.
Yeah, but that's a lot of people who are buying, who are upgrading cards. Who are upgrading cards? I would think so.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. People upgrading cards would be looking at that. But I think the benchmark is expected to be Witcher.
Yeah.
GTA 5 isn't that graphically intensive, is it?
Oh, no. Surprising. It's like the first Rockstar game on PC that isn't shit-optimized and requires
because they did it.
A future. Finally. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, it's because they did it in-house.
But yeah, I'm pretty satisfied. Yeah, it's Windows 8, everything, and I get an upgrade to Windows 10 sometimes down the line. So
that was what I was gonna say. Like if you get a 970, which is probably the card to get right now.
Yeah, that is definitely if you have the money for the 970. I would suggest getting the 970.
The thing is, like, factor in the fact that you get Witcher and Batman free with it if you get on Amazon.
It's now Batman too. Yeah, isn't it?
I think also Newegg.
Also, if you get it on, I got it on Newegg Canada, so I assume
that's like $120, or at least $100 added to the value of the card. So if you're sitting there with a budget of $250, and you're thinking about getting 960, think again. Like, definitely consider
that 4 gigs is definitely worth it.
You're literally saving money that you're spending more.
Oh yeah, for sure. But yeah, so PC building, I ran into a couple stressful moments, but ultimately it succeeded. Nothing's blown up yet. Nice. But I feel like something will in the next 12 months, which is a really bad feeling. I've never had anything go wrong in a PC build so far, but that's exactly why I think it will this time, because it's just like at one time something will go wrong and it's probably going to be...
Is this your first SSD?
It's my first SSD, yeah.
Boom, how is that? How does that feel?
I mean, it just boot speed is faster. I'm not putting anything on it because it's like 120 gigabytes. So it's not like
a game.
I'm not sure if I want
a program called Steam Mover or whatever it is.
Oh yeah, it like moves your directory. I think the problem with the SSD though, as your boot drive, is like all of the games save on the fucking boot drive, and all your temp files save on the boot drive. So you always have to be careful not to clutter, because that's what I'm worried about. Because I found like. Suddenly I only had like 40 gigs of free space the day I installed my computer, and I'm like, what's happening? It's because I downloaded or I moved a file or something back and forth, and it saved on the temp after I deleted it. So
that you have to be careful about. But once you use it for about a month or so and get used to how much throughput you actually have on the drive, most of the time you should be sitting at roughly 20 to 30 to 40 gigs free on 100.
Yeah.
Because I'm also on a 128 SSD on this laptop. And at that point is when you start playing with Steam Mover, because you essentially set it to your D drive being your default Steam drive. Mm-hmm. And then you just use Steam Mover to move the game you're currently playing to your C drive. Right. So you get the benefits of the SSD.
Yeah.
That definitely changes things. It actually becomes some of a problem. Sometimes it becomes a problem because stuff like Skyrim, where there's really cool loading screens.
Yes.
You don't get to see much of those. Or like... Lords of the Fallen, like I could barely see the loading screens, and those are the tooltips, so actually useful. because it was on my SSD. So,
because I have 5 drives on this computer right now, including my SSD. And I have like Steam games on 3 different ones. So I mean, like now you can have Steam like folders on every drive now. So you don't necessarily need Steam Mover. It feels like you just need to move the game from.
Well, Steam Mover just makes you not have to do it manually.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Which is useful.
That's fair enough. Yeah.
So simple interface. Anyway,
Before I had this computer, which was like 2 days ago, because I built it like 2 days ago, I was on a laptop that was having trouble running CS:GO on the lowest settings. So in terms of games played, not much. But I guess one thing I can talk about is I bought a $90 game, $90 game on Steam.
Nine zero.
I want you guys to check. Go open up Steam and search Command Modern Air Enabled Operations.
Why am I going to regret this?
No, just to see like the context of what I spent $90 on. It was a birthday present to myself. And like...
You bought it. You actually bought it with your own money. Yeah,
I bought it with my own money.
What was the whole name? Command Modern Air Enabled Operations?
Yes.
Thank you for leaking it to the game page.
Yes.
So I guess while we're looking this up and while you're setting up this game, was this the first thing you ever, first computer you've ever built?
No, this is maybe my fourth or third build. I think my third, actually, if I exclude one time when I built first.
How much easier are computers to build nowadays? It's
so much easier. Fuck. Yep.
Like everything down to like cases you buy nowadays have like spaces pre-built in for wiring, and it's like easy access to the back of the CPU. So when
some of them are like screwless too, it's crazy. Yep. And like like the smaller cases, like mid towers and mini ITX or mini ATX, those are surprisingly comfortable to build in. I'm surprised. Fucking hell!
I have a mini ATX build which I talked about last year, and I also have a micro ATX or whatever, the slightly larger one. I remember having a weird name.
Yeah.
That's also been fantastic to build in. Like, of course, I've got a Corsair 350D or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. You can get water cooling in there. It's pretty nuts.
Oh man, water cooling like frigging 7 years ago was a nightmare.
Oh my God.
It's just like there was an actual chance of your computer being destroyed by the fact that you didn't install your water cooler properly.
Yeah. Now it's just like you buy it out off the shelf, it just plugs right in and gets
it's like,
decent
vandal. Water cooler. Yeah. Like everything from like overclocking to everything is so much simpler. Yeah.
Dude, this looks
so
like the RTS of Armas.
This is like so essentially what it is, it's for those who can't see it, which is everyone who's listening.
Everyone.
It's like essentially it's Windows style application. So it's like if you launch the application on Windows, it has like, you know, maps and it has like toolbars and everything. Like it's just like a Microsoft made application for something. And on the screen is just a map overlay, just a map of the world. You can, you know, set it with country borders, but there's no colors. It just has height and, like altitude variables. And then there are just symbols on a map, and then they go flying around, and then you shoot them down. And
it looks like something that could just be like run off of a browser, like not like that in terms of like that is its
visual quality. It takes nothing, but I mean, I've never really gone like hard into what is it called? I guess like wargaming in the sense that like. You know, I dabbled in like Paradox games, but this is like another level where it's just insane. Like controlling the level of altitude, like rearming individual planes. I'm in a dark place now because of this game. I spent $90 for a spreadsheet simulator that, you know, people used to say what I played was a spreadsheet simulator. No, this is a fucking spreadsheet simulator. Like you can. I don't know. It's just great. You can shoot down civilian airliners, which I'm really having enjoyment with for some reason, and simulating naval and air operations from anywhere from 1949 to $100. Wow. Wait, I have a question. Are you guys on the Steam page for this?
Yes. I was.
Okay. Do you still have it open, Cynic?
Yes.
Under recommended by curators.
I saw it.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So
The Giant Bomb PC Gaming Hub. I don't have it open, but I believe it says, "Do you have $80? Do you like Call of Duty? Then this game is for you."
That's the primary recommendation for the Steam curation tool, because somehow our curation page has 12,000 followers. It has 12,500 followers. It's like bigger than some. Yeah, it's like the page 5 or like the top. So now, like,
that's because you guys put the Giant Bomb PC Gaming Hub put theirs up, their like curator page up before yes. Giant Bomb could.
Yep.
And just in the height of the curator, like everyone, like when it got first, I got introduced.
Yeah, people thought this was yep. Giant Bomb. That's great, but yeah, it's like our curations are great. They're totally not actual curations.
Empire 2 HD. Dungeon of the Endless. Yeah, most of these aren't games. Empire is good, but most of these aren't games.
In the terms of the level of coverage, like Space Diablo, but with consequences.
Roundabout is great.
Yeah. So because I had like a shit computer, like I don't know why I said that, because I couldn't really play that because it didn't run very well on my computer, because I couldn't run games from 2005. I couldn't run Battlefield 2 on my laptop. So I'm back to playing games, which is really great, which is fantastic. Nice. I haven't played games in 5 months properly. Now I'm back. Mm-hmm. Now I'm back. It's good to be back.
That's nuts.
That's about it.
Welcome back to the world of video games.
Thank you.
I am eager to hear all the games you've been playing other than Orbital Command Dropship thing that you... Yeah, I've already forgotten the name. It's a lot of words.
Orbital Command Dropship thing. That's close. It has command in it.
Cynic, what you been up to? I know it's been no games.
Oh, man.
I mean, if you could gamify, you know, purchasing a phone, how's that?
Oh, I'll get to the more interesting stuff first. I watched The Avengers. Have you guys seen The Avengers?
Yes, I have. I spoiled it for myself, so you can just go ahead and talk about it.
Well, I'm not going to get too many spoilers, but Thorlton, how do you like it? What do you rate it amongst the Marvel movie universe movies?
I don't know. I want to, like, I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I don't go to the Marvel movies for, like, amazingly told stories, I guess, if that's what you're asking.
I think that is my problem. I think that's literally my problem, because the movie that made me fall in love with Marvel movies en masse was Iron Man 1, which is just a straight up good movie from every angle. So it's a solid story, awesome action, amazing graphics,
good humor,
everything you want. The humor, yeah, good music, good soundtrack. It's just solid all around, right? And ever since then, I've wanted a movie that like kind of hits those notes. And you do get close. Like Avengers 1 was not bad. The more recent Captain America movie wasn't that bad. But like nothing's really hit that level for me, at least not yet. And this is definitely back in like the Iron Man 2 kind of space with like just a lot of fucking shit going on at once. And
every
like,
frame is so dense.
Yeah, every frame has like a million things happening at the same time. I can't remember. Yeah, there's only one supervillain, unlike some of the bigger mistakes in comic book movie history. But he's not a very compelling supervillain. Like you'd expect James Spader to be. I think when they said James Spader would be Ultron, I assumed he'd be James Spader. Not playing James Spader, but it was just a James Spader ass James Spader playing Ultron, which didn't work for me. he was way more like glib and funny than I thought he would be, and it kind of removed from the gravitas of the actual villain.
With like Marvel movies, there's it's very big ten in the sense that it incorporates like all of the genres, right? It has a little bit of comedy, it has a little bit of drama. So I mean, like, was it that surprising?
The next example is Guardians, where it was awesome, like especially towards the end, and I still don't want to spoil it because of fucking how amazing it is. How self-serious the evil dude is.
Yeah. Well.
Versus.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was great. Like they hit the perfect note with Guardians.
That's why I love James Gunn. He's great.
Yeah, he's just fantastic. And they didn't quite nail that here, in my opinion. Like, it just got, instead of it being a, hey, look at these fucking cool dudes overcoming this big badass, it was, there was no like real sense of a big badass in the first place.
Right.
At least not from my perspective.
I mean, but could it be like, possible yeah. because it's just they're such overpowered main character superheroes, right? It's like Guardians of the Galaxy. It's more the setting is more Misfits, right? And they have like that space to be, you know, like a little bit quirky and funny and less serious. But while, you know, other than, I guess, you know, it's Tony Stark, nobody really has a strong sense of humor other than like just, you know, Hulk smashing things or something like that, or just being aloof as Thor.
You know, it's weird. Like freaking, what's his face? The dude with the bow.
Hawkeye
was actually the most likable character in this movie.
Really?
That's amazing. They that's doubled down on Hawkeye in a way no one was expecting. That's a weird
character to double down on.
because what they're doing was they're kind of reshaping Tony Stark, who's my favorite character, into the villain he needs to be for Captain America 3.
Yeah.
So they're kind of distancing you from him, giving him more of like a ulterior motive. That's still noble, but it clashes with how I think his character has been portrayed in the past. Well, it's continuing like a character development arc from Iron Man 3, which is kind of interesting to follow if you actually take it seriously. But you don't want to take stuff seriously. You want him to be Tony Stark ass Tony Stark, and he isn't in this movie. It's kind of weird. Right. Anyway, without going too much into the movie itself, I thought it was okay. Definitely watchable, but like I was expecting more from it. Like, Thorbolton, did you get the bang from your bucks?
I can agree with you. It didn't feel more like Avengers 1 was them all getting together to fight this, you know, world ending sort of thing. And Avengers 2 seemed like it seemed more like an origin story. Both with they introduced the two of their superheroes as well as reshaped. Well, yeah, and then they reshaped Tony Stark. To be honest, I go to those movies, specifically the big Avenger ones, to be in a giant crowd of people, because I don't know if you know, I have been going to a lot of movies lately. B, they haven't been that packed. And Avengers fills theaters. And to spoil Avengers 1, the moment where the Hulk just like picks up Loki and starts bashing him from side to side of the screen.
It was great.
It was great. Yeah. And having that moment where you're in a crowd and like the entire crowd cheers and whoops with laughter. And like, it's a great feeling. And so that's kind of why I go to those movies. It's kind of the same reason as Michael Bay, except I know that there's a bit more like quality and TLC put into these movies. At least I'd like to think so.
Well, okay, that brings up a good question.
Not that Michael Bay doesn't put like, you know, a lot of care into his stuff. It's just I can associate more closely with where the Marvel team is coming from as I identify.
I don't think Michael Bay and then think quality.
Okay,
I think fun.
I'm not trying to knock the man. That's all.
I will not bag Bad Boys 2. Bad Boys 2 and Bad Boys 1 are fucking masterpieces of modern cinema.
Yep.
And The Rock.
Would you consider do you guys know like the comic book like history or whatever, like what's going on in context of like the story in the comics as a whole? Do you guys follow the comics?
I used to, but not anymore.
Right. So like, but do you like know like the Civil War and stuff like that? I don't, but yeah. I mean, I have basic knowledge of it.
I've not read it, but I'm aware of the Civil War.
Yeah. Civil War is like pretty much, in my opinion, again, as someone who isn't keeping up with where comics are now, but circa 2008 or so, it was the single best sequence of comic book things.
Right. But so ever written. Do you think it's just as enjoyable for someone who doesn't like understand like what the buildup is for and like the character backgrounds, you think? Like, for someone who's not interested in comic books, is this truly that much better than like a Transformers movie?
Well, the thing is, they're building up to Civil War without actually saying they're building up to Civil War. Like, the people who care or like they're keeping track of comic book movies, who know that this is like Marvel Phase 2 or whatever, and then moving on to Phase 3 or whatever, which is going to be Civil War and then the Avengers 2, 3. people like who know that shit know they're moving to Civil War. Everyone else thinks Tony Stark suddenly just being a jerk. So no, to them, no, I don't. I think it's actually detracting from the overall experience.
Okay.
People like us who know what's coming next, it's actually kind of it's interesting but not enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, I still want to see Tony Stark being funny and awesome. I don't need him to be
That's the appeal of his character as Iron Man, right?
Because
it's not just him in it's not a robot man suit. There's actually a character behind it.
Absolutely. And again, like the character and the journey he's going on makes sense. But they could have struck a better balance between him going off in his own direction and him being like pretty dismissive of the rest of the Avengers. Right. In the end, though, like I think that the Civil War itself is going to be fucking awesome. Because Civil War, it's one of those things where because they're not really wrapping up to it, it will lose some of its edge. But the whole idea of should every superhero out there reveal their secret identities to the government because they need to be regulated is very interesting. Mm-hmm. Like in its core concept, like what gives these people the right to wear a mask and destroy buildings and not get punished for that. Yeah, that's such a cool idea. It's like it's weird because even though it's an old concept now, because Civil War was like what, early 2000s or something, it's in my opinion getting more valid with time, especially with like how laws and stuff around the world are changing, mm-hmm. Becoming more and more like insular. It's so fascinating. Like the fact that Captain America's like no and Iron Man's like yes, the fact that there was no right and wrong in the argument was so well executed. And if they're able to do that in the films, that would be awesome. But
okay,
we'll see how that goes. Anyway, that's the only real like big pop culture-y thing I've done. The second thing I've done this week is get a new phone, i.e. today. And I'm currently sitting here with a Nexus 5 in my right hand. And the new Samsung Galaxy S6 in my left hand, and not really sure how to make the two talk to each other, and I'm hating phones.
What do you mean talk
to each other? Why'd I make this decision?
Like when you first said talk to each other, I thought you were like trying to call yourself or something. I was very, very confused. Yeah.
Like there's a whole thing where like if you like turn on NFC with both and you put them back to back, then they should like do this weird handshake thing
like
and transfer data
thing?
Between them.
Yeah,
that didn't work. And then there's like the Samsung app you could download, which is like restore like your old phone to your new phone using this app. And then I downloaded that on my Samsung phone, and then my Nexus was like this app isn't compatible with this phone, and I'm like fuck you. Yeah, it's just annoying.
Through a carrier? Did you get your new phone through a carrier?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I got it.
Okay, because
carriers here.
Yeah, they transfer it over here. I don't know about there.
Oh well, no, they don't. But they didn't really offer me either. I guess I could have asked them to, but I don't.
And then they would have rolled their eyes and asked you to get out.
Like it's one of those things where. It's like building a new PC and installing everything for the first time.
Yeah.
It's that period of pain where you hate it to get to that part afterwards, mm-hmm. where you have like this awesome thing that's customized to exactly the way you like it all over again. I just have to get through that first phase of fucking hating everything with these fucking phones and regretting my decision to buy a new phone. But the phone is so like the main reason I'm regretting getting the Samsung Galaxy, because I can already tell it's way faster. The screen is fucking amazing. It's a beautiful. Right. It's like a 2560 screen, like huge resolution. No, it's even higher. No, it is a 2560. It's quad HD, which is pretty spectacular. Like it's a beautiful looking phone. But when I ask for a black phone, I'm not asking for a dark blue phone. Those are two distinctly different things. It is not difficult. My Nexus 5 is actually black. If it's not black, it's a very dark brown, which I can't even discern from the blackness of it.
Wait,
this Galaxy is clearly a dark blue.
But
I hate it.
But didn't you tell the person that when they showed you the phone, it's like, oh, this is not the color.
Well, no, you have a choice between the white, which is a cream, and the black, which is dark blue. That's the problem.
It's not necessarily the person who sold it to you. It's the company who made it and then named it such.
Okay.
It is Samsung epically failing at actually making a black phone, which shouldn't be hard in 2015. God damn it. I'm surprised it's hot garbage.
Only two colors.
Yeah, it's just white and dark blue. I refuse to call this black. From most angles, it is clearly a fucking dark blue. It's so annoying.
You could paint it black.
But no, it's a good one. It's a nice phone. Hey, reference. I have to get used to having physical buttons again, though. It's so weird not having the buttons on the screen. So that's one thing.
Are physical on the...
Oh, so with Samsung phones, one of the main reasons I've never bought a Samsung phone in the past, and same with HTC, is that along the bottom of the screen, you have those actual buttons. You have the home button and the back button and the multitasking button. On Nexus phones, they actually did away with them quite a while ago. So
right.
The screen just is a little bit longer, and all the buttons are digital, so they change and shit depending on what you need them to do.
Okay.
Which is fucking... So at the moment in the lock screen, the bottom left is a little camera icon, which if I drag from there, opens the camera without unlocking the phone. And the bottom right is camera. Bottom left is the phone. So if I drag from there, I can open the phone app without unlocking the phone. So stuff like that is really cool. But whereas Samsung, you're just stuck with it always being back, home, mm-hmm. and multiple. Anyway, so it's just something to get used to. And then back is on the opposite side in Samsung, so that's just weird. Anyway, so I will update you guys on phones later. At the moment, I hate it. I'll probably like it next week.
Stop using phones altogether. That's the solution.
So the big issue I ran into this week is, well, for one, I got a promotion, which is cool. So I'm getting a raise, which is good.
Oh, wait, what rank are you then?
I'm now a flying officer. So two ranks above what I was before.
Do you do any flying? Have you done flying?
It's don't ask me why they gave it that name, because it's a dumb name. I'm an engineer who's a flying officer. It's just fucking all weird and around the place. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so I got a raise. And obviously with a raise, the moment you get a raise, you immediately have the bug of I need to spend money. Like yeah. It's the first thing you do is, mm-hmm. okay, I've got my money. I need to spend it as quickly as fucking possible. I don't want to see it, because if I do, then I will just save it. And that's obviously not why you get more money. You get more money so you can spend it. So I walked into a hardware store. Yeah, I walked into a computer hardware store. Not a hardware store. A computer hardware store. And I made the biggest mistake of the last couple months of mine.
Oh, wow.
Which is to walk over to the TV section and I saw a 65-inch TV.
What? What?
I have not put a deposit down. I will say that now, but I will also say that I will be buying a 65-inch TV within the next month. I know myself too well.
I mean, does it equal the raise, or is it more than the raise?
Now I see where, like, because you like on your the spreadsheet, you have bad decisions as well, and I was wondering what that was.
Yeah,
I assumed it was the phone.
I got a new apartment, right? So I moved to a different part of Australia. I'm in the capital territory now, which feels like a big country town, but that's that all aside. Have a new apartment, 3-bedroom apartment for just me. So I've made the living room of that apartment into a large studio, essentially. I'm living there. Now the two bedrooms, one's going to be a VR room.
You told me about this. Your dedicated VR room.
I'm going to make a dedicated VR room, which Jesus is just Christ. Waiting for Vive. I can't fucking wait. And the other room is going to be a guest bedroom. So I now have a room. So I'm living in kind of a studio-esque kind of main living room kind of area. But it's the size of a living room. And all I really have in it is a bed and a desk, right? So and a table with some chairs for dining. But I have all this empty space to just deal with. And my old 32-inch monitor, TV, which I use for a second monitor and usually play games off, now feels really, really small. So that's the reason I went to the TV section, expecting
just to fill up your room. That's really
Just to fill up my room and to give myself something like, you know, pretty to look at and to
Why
buy.
Why didn't you get a painting or something for cheap? Okay, wait. The question is, right? Is the cost of the TV equal to the pay raise?
Oh, it's far less than the raise.
Okay, that's not as bad.
I got like a $20,000 a year raise. It's a big deal.
Oh, wow.
But the TV's only like maybe 3,000 to 5,000. We'll find it. We'll figure out as we go along this journey. But maybe 7,000. I don't know yet.
We'll see.
I just feel the need to point out, for the record, as you know, I've said them before, I have a projector in my like main living room.
Yes.
And the thing, it like I bought it 5-6 years ago, something crazy like that. I still have the same bulb. So moderate use and good positioning and all that, it lasts.
Projector is clearly the smart way to go.
It's a 70-inch screen. I've measured it. From like one end of the room to the next.
See, the thing is,
the projector is off. It doesn't fill the room like a 60-inch TV, does it, though?
65-inch TV.
Oh, wow. I'm so sorry.
Right, and I can only, like, I can't play in the middle of the day, and because it's not the brightest, and I guess, I mean, really, Cynic, you should think about getting a 65-inch CRT if you want, like, the maximum gaming response time.
So I looked it up. I'll rewind before I get to response time. So I walked to the TV section, and I started with the 42-inch TVs. I'm like, all right, this is pretty cool. All right, that's fine. This is a good size for my room. Math-wise, it works out for how far I'll be like sitting away from it. That's all cool. But inevitably, behind the 42-inch TVs, on the far wall, are the fucking huge TVs.
Oh my God.
And so I was like, you know what? I'll just have a look. I could probably afford one now. I may as well have a look at it. And I go around the fucking counter, and I go around to the back, and it's like, and I'm looking at this TV, and it's on the bottom shelf, right? And it's about like as wide as I could open my arms, and it's 4K, so it's beautiful and it's huge, and I'm like, I was almost sold just by the like how fucking amazing it looked, and then I was like, wait. Imagine playing Witcher 3 on that.
Oh, no.
And then I paused. I was like, oh, no. I'm sold, aren't I? Oh, no. I've not spent that much money on a single piece of consumer electronics in my entire life. And at this point, I know I'm going to. It's just a matter of when.
I'm surprised you didn't get that 970 for Witcher 3, because I can see you get doing that.
I know you're going to do that as well, because, like, frankly, when you were talking about the PS4, like way back when, early episodes, you were just talking about like wanting to put like a pre-order on it, and then like the next episode, you just straight up bought it. Yep. So this is going to happen.
Yeah, if you're getting a 4K monitor or 4K screen, you're probably going to dump money on a video card. I can predict it now.
Oh, absolutely. So then I went like sideways. So I was like, okay, I now have decided on a size, which is 65 inches. that's set. That is the set part of this equation. The other half of this equation is, what kind of fucking TV of that size do I want? Now, do I want a 1080p, pretty sharp, pretty high res, like frame rate TV for like $1,700, or do I want a 4K TV that is actually that's pretty good, state of the art, for like $3,500? Or do I want to wait like 3 more months and get an OLED 4K TV for like $7,500? And I don't know which way I'm heading. And that's the scary part of this time, is because the time pre-purchase, before you've made that decision to actually buy the TV, it's all a flux. And it's all like a matter of like looking at the money in my hands and going, how much of this money do I have to throw down this fucking like waste bus, like waste bin, like throw into the fire to appease the wanting new technology gods? I don't know yet. So here are the many parts that are making this decision. One, response time. It turns out that the Sony 4K TVs have some of the best response times out there. And they're around $3,500. One point in their direction. Two, actual screen like fidelity. It turns out 4K TVs, being the latest TVs, are still most likely the best looking TVs. Another point in at least that area. So either the $3,500 or the $7,500 range. And finally, OLED is the single best fucking display like type out there, bar none. And that's the second point in the $7,500 TV bucket. So I'm now sitting here with 3 points in both the 4K bucket and the $7,500 TV bucket, i.e. 4K OLED. and I'm scared. That's where I am right now. That's where I am this week. I will update you guys.
Oh my god. I just love how the variable for you is response time and not price. I hope I'm in that situation at some point in my life before I die. I just hope
so. It's literally after you get your first big raise. I think that's the spot. Jesus. I think that's the literally spot. Like, most of my friends got cars. I'm here seriously considering a stupidly expensive TV. God.
I mean, like, you are taking the Ferris Bueller, like, day off approach of, like, one person gets the car, you're the one who gets a cool computer.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess you get a movie named after you. Quickly, before we end on this topic, just because I know he's brought in midway through, Mitch, if you're there, where do you weigh in on Cynic spending a crap ton of money on a piece of on TV?
I mean, why limit yourself to 65 inches? I mean,
let's
just go for it. I mean, if you're, like, this far down the rabbit hole, you might as well just
like
go
79
for it.
Inches is right there, and some of them are on sale. So that is a good point. That is a good Cynic, point, Mitch.
You're thinking inside the box. How much would it cost to rent to, like, buy a movie projector size, like,
only like $2,000? Only like $2,000.
There you go.
Bucks.
I mean,
like, it is clearly the mathematically best option if I'm looking for screen size. But am I looking for screen size or just something really big and shiny?
Why? Why is a $60 video game the determinant whether you spend $6,000?
That was the stupid part. That was the dumbest part. It was not like a certainty in my mind until I literally thought of, oh my god, imagine fucking Witcher 3 on a 65-inch TV. I have problems.
Omni shambles, as they say.
It's gonna happen. Yeah, I'll update you guys.
I would be more excited on having more people have to salute me. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. But I, whatever. Yeah, no one wants to salute because then you have to salute back, and it's just a fucking huge waste of time. So, yeah. Anyway, that's it. That's what I've done this week.
I would congratulate you
on
the promotion, but you're getting a very expensive television, so
yeah.
You don't deserve it.
I'm also getting a car next year. That's going to happen, but first, I have to give my sister my car, and she has to get her license for that. So that's next year. So I'm also car shopping. That's also a dangerous way to go down.
See, which car can play Witcher while driving? That's the question.
Yeah, I was like thinking, like, do I want a Tesla? Just looking at it, I was like, do I even need a Tesla? That's stupid. Don't be stupid.
I mean, I've seen Mad Max. It's a documentary of Australia. Like, I don't think they have that, like, level of car available in where you live.
That's fact.
Maybe there'll be a Tesla in the new iteration. Who knows?
Oh man, electric TV, electric cars.
Mitch, save us, please. I don't know if you've been doing anything. Like, what you've been playing? What's up?
Welcome to the show. Mid show entrant.
Mitch. Yeah, you know, better late than never. I guess.
Agreed.
Let's see. I mean, it's not saving you. I mean, I've been playing League, so you guys are just going to cut me off.
Moving on!
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I've been playing not a whole lot. I've been pretty busy. I was in Mexico for 2 weeks, so
nice.
Didn't play a lot of games. Well, that's not true. I played a lot of King of Fighters 98, because that is the game of Mexico, or at least a part of Mexico that I was in.
Like, was it a cabinet that was there?
Yeah, it was an arcade, and so people would, like, stack up the coins, and, like, who got next dibs, and then whoever won obviously got to stay on, and so then people would gather around and cheer. It was pretty cool. Actually, we went to a movie theater to see Furious, the new Fast and the Furious movie, and they had it, like, projected on a wall, so that was kind of cool. I felt like I was at EVO, except
was Cynic the manager of the shop, just like, hey, check out my new TV?
No, not quite.
That's Flight Lieutenant Cynic to you, or whatever
yeah.
it was. Flight Officer?
Is it Sir? Lord Cynic? I mean, you guys are part of the Commonwealth, right?
Only if you're, like, ANCO. Okay.
Gotcha.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah,
so
other video games? What did you do in Mexico? What did you get?
I was building houses. I spent some time down there right out of high school, and then I went back for a couple of 2 weeks in the beginning of April. And so we're just hanging out, building houses, having a good time, and getting into any mischief at all, except for M2000s. Those are the coolest thing ever. So, for those of you at home, that's
I know fireworks.
It's half a stick of dynamite. So yeah, that's.
What? That's
It's it was awesome. It was all kinds of, I got the police called on me at one point, so that was maybe not so cool, but yeah, so
no, that adds to the coolness. When you get the police called on you, that means you're doing something right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They rolled up and they're like, so you're setting off bombs in the street. And I was like, no, I promise. We found out later that the gas main was like 5 feet below where we were setting off the explosives. So
nice.
That was safe. Man.
Safe, smart, yeah.
Yeah, it's Mexico. Nice. Oh, and I've also tried to get GTA 5 to run on my computer about 1,000 times, but it never wants to. So that's kind of lame.
Man.
So I've been playing. Let's try and figure out why GTA 5 doesn't want to run.
So hasn't someone else been Doubleton?
Yes.
Haven't you been playing some GTA 5?
I have, but I wasn't going to talk about it because I know we were short on time. It's fun. It's good. I did. There's a thing called a taxi challenge, which came out of Reddit. I heard about it on Idle Thumbs, but it's an insane taxi AI challenge. So anybody playing it, look it up on Reddit. You start off in one corner of the map and then just like mark somewhere in like in the middle of nowhere and you have a taxi pick you up and tell the AI to step on it. So they go like super fast and you just start careening across the, like the back roads, probably flipping over and just like destroying the taxi. And I think I tried like 5 times. I think I only made it like once.
Wait, yeah. Did you have any problems getting working on your PC?
No, not really. I mean, like, I have it set down on lower settings, so I don't have a crazy 970,000 video card or anything. But
well,
yeah,
you don't have a friggin' 4K $7 million television.
Yeah,
so.
I don't have.
No one does yet.
I don't have a real setup. I guess I'm not. I'm just faking my way to the, you know.
But the thing is, you're in a situation where you can think about it. That's good enough, right? That's the owning it, where you can think about being the possibility of owning it. That's the difference.
The problem is, right, if I spend like $7,500 on a TV, that's money I could be putting towards a car. And that makes me feel bad. I don't know if I'll go that far. I don't know. This OLED has to really, really shock me with how good it is. But Mitch, like, what do you mean this doesn't work? Like, is it just like error out or is it
just arrows out. I try and run it and then it just says, oh, cannot run, unknown error, sorry, try again.
Oh, and have you tried turning your router on and off?
I've done that. I've cleared my Steam cache.
Then I have no clue.
Done about everything.
That's a fix.
No,
turning your router
whenever
on
your internet stops working. That's what the internet people tell you. Have you tried turning your router on and off?
Oh, I see. Have you tried rebooting?
And then you swear.
I tried starting in safe mode.
They tell you to stop swearing, and then they turn the call off.
That sounds about right. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
So I've just made do with other games like League.
I mean, to be fair, I believe you're still using the computer that I gave you. That was my old computer. That is like 4 or 5 years old now, so I'm I would be amazed if that thing could run GTA 5.
Yeah, and so I'm in the position where I get to start thinking about upgrading a PC for the first time, so that'll be an adventure.
Ooh,
because I've always been a Mac, so for better or worse, so I know absolutely nothing about like building out a computer.
You should probably get a 65-inch monitor screen.
Yeah, no, that seems like it's kind of...
Start with the monitor, work backwards.
Yeah, yes.
Make sure
that sounds about right.
You want to get water cooling? That's great,
too. Well, I heard about, like, mineral oil. Like, can you, like, suspend everything in mineral oil? That sounds kind of cool.
I mean, there's, like, homemade solutions where you can tie water bottles together, and I heard that is actually the best result cost-wise for building a PC.
Gotcha.
So I recommend you try that.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Bring it back to video games, though. I do want to talk about GTA Online heists, but I haven't finished all of them, so I'll save it for another episode. Needless to say, it's a great game that is really well rounded. But what it like the stuff it doesn't cover is, you know, kind of a bummer. It's just like it's a great, wonderful game that's really only about just causing abject chaos and shooting.
But that's GTA.
What more do you need?
Yeah.
You played it on console, right, Thurston?
I did play it on console on the last generation. I've not played it on the PS4 or Xbone. But really, I'm not gonna because
how would you compare
it? It's 100% better on PC because it's got mods where you can instead of shoot bullets, shoot cars or walk around as a chicken or a whale And that's just the stuff that's out right now. And like they've already, I believe they've already ported all the previous cities into the new engine. So I could run around in
Liberty City.
Liberty City, yeah, that's what it was. What if they'll port Vice City over? I doubt it, but maybe. But yeah, I'm just excited for the modding community when it comes to like making stuff in other people's worlds who have already pre-built stuff. It's going to be fun and an exciting journey to see what they make. Stuff I have been playing almost all day today is Guacamelee, which is one of the two free games. Yeah, it was one of the two free games for PS Plus people. Not free games, but for subscribing to their service, it's one of the games they have.
Yeah, which is still an awesome service. Like, people think I'm fucking fanboying, but no, straight up, PS Plus is great.
Quality service. You get some good, you get good games, which, you know, a number of them in the past since I got PS4 have been really good. Spelunky's one of them, just saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, this month was Guacamelee and Ether One. I haven't actually played that, but it doesn't look amazing, but it looks like a good quality, kind of like of the same level as Shelter was a game.
Huh.
Not like that art style, but that level of quality of like it's good enough. It's like 5 years old, kind of, you know, what the bar was set at then. And it seems to be a pretty well-written story. I haven't actually jumped all the way into it. But Guacamelee is a pretty dang fun, good game, and well-written. you run around as a luchador, and I guess the Day of the Dead, as many a luchador / Mexican inspired. I don't know, I'm trying to tie that in with the Double Fine game.
Broken Age?
No, not Broken Age. The one that we were playing on the Day of the Dead.
Grim Fandango,
set on the Day of the Dead. But yeah, this one is a fighting game, similar to, I guess, Castlevania's, where you unlock moves and thusly get access to more parts of the map. But it's just set, like, just far enough set in its story to, like, have the world designed in a certain way, but still acknowledges that it's a video game with some of its writing is really like on the nose and silly. Like when one of the henchwomen, a lady gets shunned by the main villain, the writing is like, oh, well, she's probably off somewhere listening to Adele. I was like, really? I had to like, I had to do a double take when I was like reading the writing. It's like, wait, they just straight up wrote Adele. Like she's listening to Adele. Okay. She's listening to that Adele. Yep. All right. But then like the things that inhibit you are like just fourth wall breaking, sort of just like, oh, it's this big colored block that you'll know you can unlock when you get a certain ability. So that's nice. Cause when you get something that is 100% into its, immersive story, like Ori and the Blind Forest, I've heard many a tale of people who've played it will get super angry at trying to get to an area that the game is not like they don't want them to go to. At least at that point in time, they want like it's incredibly difficult at the point in time in which they are trying to get there because it's meant for them to get there later in the Castlevania style, having unlocked an ability. And Ori and the Blind Forest just like doesn't show you that, like, hey, wait, come back later. But Guacamelee does, and it's super colorful, it's fun, it's silly. I'm kind of bummed I didn't play it before.
I've heard really good things about the actual fighting system, like the way it plays out.
It was like while I was slowly unlocking all the different abilities, I think is there a way to tell how long you've been playing a game on PlayStation?
On Steam?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't believe so.
I want to say I'm like 5 or 6 hours in. I've unlocked I've rounded out my fighting capabilities, and now that I'm at this point, either because I've unlocked everything or because they've put me through enough rooms in which like the point of the room is to have me hone in on the timing and the way the game plays, I really enjoy it now. There was a point like 2 or 3 hours in where I was getting kind of angry with it because some of the rooms were just like, you have to progress through here. This isn't a side path, and yet it's felt like frame perfect sort of requirements.
Hmm.
That being said, like one of the main things they have is like the right bumper or the right trigger rather takes you from the world of the living to the land of the dead. And right. they make great use of that by like, you know, parts of the geometry will only exist in one world rather than the other. And so you do crazy things like having to mid jump change worlds.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is cool.
So essentially, and that would reveal different parts of the environment, and then you'd be changing back after another jump. It'll be like massive. Like, what game did that with the two people? I forget what it's fucking called. Like, it was like blue and
brothers?
Orange and
no.
It was like there's like African kind of art style, like
Far Cry school 2.
African art style.
Like Miami.
Back to you, Thorpe.
Sadly, I don't know what game that is, I'm afraid.
Okay. There have been games that have done that before, but yeah, it seems really cool.
Yeah. Anybody who does not have PlayStation 4 or PS Plus should still look it up on Steam and maybe add it to the wish list, get it on sale, or get a full price.
Steam Summer Sale coming up.
It's pretty dang good. Yeah, Steam Summer Sale is coming up. I guess the other game I've been playing, I'll talk about quickly, Touchtone. I've been playing it for a while on my phone, on my Touchtone device, I guess.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, I see what the writers did there when they made the game. It really is. It's straight up. It's a puzzle game. It's a couple bucks, but it's been a lot of fun. Where just on break or like, I guess if someone were taking the bus, they could play a couple rounds of it. Imagine if you will, how many levels this is. It's a grid layout, a bunch of boxes, 4 by let's say like 6, however the height of the phone is. And stuff you slide either way, sort of like a Rubik's Cube, rotates around on itself. And on the outskirts of the map, places where you can't rotate, they're just fixed points, are a little beam spitting out, sort of like a like portal, like the portal beams from Portal 2. And then at another point in the map, or on screen rather, there is a marker where like that beam is supposed to go into. In order to progress to the next puzzle. And on the grids are slants or like different tools that you can use to manipulate the beams to make them go in different directions or like split them into two different beams or change the color of them. All sorts of crazy stuff. Basically, it's a fun little game where you like shift the screen around in a way to make it make the beam go in the other hole. I don't know.
Weird.
That's very lewd.
That's
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. There's a story element that goes on top of it where like you are, by solving these puzzles, you're hacking into people's phones and you, I guess, are recruited by the NSA to like hack a specific person. And that's what each chapter is like, basically they spin a narrative in between the puzzles of what this person is. And it's been kind of interesting. The first chapter that I've done, I'm working on the second now, but it's just like this guy who is in a tech startup, but also he's from Iran. And you're not quite sure if he's like trying to smuggle people into the country or not, to help his family.
Right.
But yeah, it seemed like a neat game. The main interest was like the puzzle of it is fun.
I like how serious that goes. Yeah, seems like a neat game. It works.
Yep. I guess the other thing, I've still been playing Spelunky, and I guess a quick PSA. The speed record for the Olmec is under 2 minutes now. I think 1:50. And I suggest anybody watches it because it's like Nightcrawler is playing Spelunky. Once they get the teleporter, it's insane.
That's cool. That's cool.
Okay. Yeah.
I love watching speed runner. The Giant Bomb Big Bad Live Show Live 2015 gave me a more appreciation for speed running than I already had. Since
I'm not to like speed run stuff, but I'm kind of tempted to reset Bloodborne to 1.0 just to mess around with some of that stuff.
Yeah. That sounds fucking fun. Like, just install it off the disk again, because fuck it, why not?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a good case for still having disks. You don't have to worry about, like, going back to previous versions.
You know what? Yeah, you're right. Versioning. Like, that's totally, you're totally right. 100%.
Almost like you have some power that the developer, if in case they want to, like, restrict you into what version you have or any version at all, could, you know, you've taken that power away from them because you have the physical disk. Almost like how Konami took off PT from the servers.
Segway. Wow. Well played, sir.
Impressive.
Yeah, it was good.
It's not my first time podcasting.
That was, but also a complete bullshit because fuck Konami. What the fuck? It was, all right. So what this reveals is kind of two things. So just to actually explain, if PT, playable teaser, the teaser for Silent Hills, which was canceled because of the Hideo Kojima stuff, which we talked extensively about last episode, which was quite a while ago, I guess, but still, has been removed entirely from the PlayStation Store. But, okay, things have been removed from the PlayStation Store before. That's happened. Like, games have hit, like, weird, copyright issues and all that kind of stuff, and they've been removed from the PlayStation Store. But normally, when something's removed from the PlayStation Store, if you, inverted commas, own it, as in it's part of your, like, digital library.
Yeah, if you've downloaded it or if you have a list in your library, yeah.
Yeah, then you can download whatever because it's yours. That's kind of the idea anyway. Like, the idea is once you've actually hit yes, I will, inverted commas, buy it, which you still do on PS Plus. It just costs $0. You then own it. It's yours, and it's your digital thing. The part of that was because you own it, you can then go on and download it whenever. Like, if you get a new PS4 or whatever else, it's yours. You can just go and download it. Apparently, what this reveals is that PlayStation actually has the ability in its server banks to entirely remove that privilege from users. And beyond that, like, companies like Konami, who just go, yeah, we don't feel like selling this anymore, can just straight away forever take away your digital products. They can't uninstall it from your hard drive. That's still yours. But if you ever want to download it again, they can just remove that
basically privilege. I think what they did was just, like, they changed the rights of whoever could download it to being, like, only, I guess, nobody could download it, or they took it straight off the server bank. Basically, if you have not played PT or have not downloaded it, you no longer have the option to.
And you can no longer play it. Like, probably the best horror game to come out within the last, say, 10 years, you cannot play at all. Unless you're smart enough to download it before, like, all the shit hit the fan, or we're able to, because people who don't own a PS4 yet, now you just can't. And that's kind of sad, unless you want to pay, like, stupid amounts of money for a PS4 with PT on it on eBay or whatever, which is apparently a thing. It reveals two things. One, yes, Konami's a piece of shit. Like, it's their prerogative. It is their game. And it was given away for free. So it's not like they're taking our money from us, but it's also, like, it reveals the negative half of the inevitable digital future. It's if things like this happen again, which they now will because there's a precedent for it, it's kind of sad because, like, things like preservation become much less possible. Like, I don't know if there's a cracked version of PT available online for preservationists to download and keep. Like, it's, and that aside, like, it brings up big things about, like, do I actually own this thing? If you, like, what does ownership of a digital product mean? If you can just take away my ability to reinstate my product when I've lost my hardware, which is associated with it, etc.
Well, that's the big worry about Steam, right? Which is entirely digital. It's like there's no real promise other than, you know, what they said in terms of, like, the EULA or whatever, in terms of actually retaining all of your games if Steam goes bust.
Yeah.
But, like, the interesting about Steam is if I know for games that are taken off of the Steam store, if you buy it, it's still in your library and you can download it at any time.
And that's how it usually is for PlayStation. Like, it's happened before with PlayStation, and stuff have been taken off the PlayStation store. And usually if it's still on your library, you can still download it. But in this case specifically, and this is the first case I know of, you cannot download it for the first time ever. It's just entirely removed from their backend servers.
I guess it's because it's free that they feel like they have the ability to do so, where if it was a paid product, it would be a lot more controversial.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, if this wasn't free, like, if this was free, you could not do this bullshit, because people would have literally taking people's rights away over the products they own. But in terms of free products, like, it brings up the question, did we ever really own it in the first place? Like, were we just leasing the product from them? I know a lot of software EULAs now stipulate that you're just leasing the product, but it's just...
It's essentially a license, right?
Yeah. It's just weird, man. It's fucking... It's weird. Do you guys, like Mitch and Thurbleton, do you have any thoughts on this?
It is really weird. The only, like, I guess caveat is it's kind of the same as when, like, an MMO goes away. Because you can't play the MMO anymore. So, I mean, you can, like, get in and, like, just never connect. So it'd be kind of along the same lines, I guess. But at the same time, it's, like, super shitty. And it also means, like, what went wrong between Konami and all of them to just, like, fuck you guys. Like, we're just going to no more.
Well, see, there's this guy named Hideo Kojima who used to work for Konami. And then like, they got pissed off. And, like, Kojima straight up left. And then Konami was like, well... Let's get out of this video game business, I guess.
apparently.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And now they just run, like, healthcare clinics.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the joke. They run healthcare. Can't, like, that's...
Yes, that's true. That's true. Those are facts he is spouting. I will say one caveat. PT has always been and is pretty clearly a playable teaser for Silent Hills, and that was cancelled. It is possible that... And we all know how bad Japanese developers and publishers are at communicating with the public. It is possible that they're just going to strip out that part at the end, which is the Silent Hills bit, and put it back up as a paid download later. If I was them, that's what
They're going to Flappy Bird it?
Yes. What?
they're going to, after it's got all this critical acclaim, take it off the store, giving it more critical acclaim.
Yeah, and then put it back up.
Put it back up later and make bank. That's crazy.
Money.
Yes, that is exactly. That's exactly what I would. Because it makes sense. Because it's still a good product that they own. And the fact that they're giving it away for free this whole time is kind of daylight rubber in our parts. Like, it's amazing that we got that for free. So I wouldn't be surprised if they put out like a PT second edition or whatever, which is just without the Silent Hills shit at the end. Yeah.
It really sucks when you have something that used to be free and then you have to pay for.
Yeah. But this is like a weird situation. Game was made to publicize no longer being made. Sorry?
Could this all just be a crazy Hideo Kojima thing? He's going to show up in a helicopter at E3 and he's going to throw physical copies of PT out to the crowd and be like, be free! And then, I don't know.
There's like Moby Dick Studios 2.0. Like, he's just going to leave Konami and then found Moby Dick Studios for real. And then, oh, fuck. It was one big fucking rope-a-dope. That would be the best. Oh,
I mean, if anybody's going to do it.
It's Hideo Kojima. It's motherfucking Hideo Kojima. Oh my God. That would be so good. That would be so fucking good. That would be so fucking amazingly good if they do that. I would love him. Not that I already do. Like, I already love him, but I'd love him more. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah,
I guess that's that topic. Is there what else do we
have? Yeah, I was gonna like try and transition that into PC mods, but hey,
I did. Did you not see when
I saw it?
Yeah.
We tried, but then Cynic just rambled.
Himodo Kojima.
No.
Mods?
No.
This is a little bit past news because like it's everything that's was crazy about it's already happened, but Steam and Valve wanted to introduce the option for people who make super high quality mods or even super low quality mods,
just mods,
to put them up for sale. And they thought the market would decide, like, you know, would say, like, hey, what's good, gets money and all that. The market would sort itself. Yeah, the invisible hand, the algorithm that runs Valve. So they put it on Skyrim. And then the market decided to just say F you to, you know, democracy. And just went straight into chaos because there's very little regulation when it comes to giving open access to like millions of people to make mods.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it.
Should I give like more background?
Just I mean, like, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so there's a couple things. So it was both a Bethesda and a Valve joint deal. And so for those who aren't sure, so Steam Workshop is a way for people to upload mods. Mm-hmm. And currently, in terms of paid user-made content, there's the precedent is, of course, TF2, CSGO, and I think Dota, where user-made skins go on the market and people can buy that for money. But this is the first time any sort of like more open-ended modding sort of got implemented with a paid scheme, and it's definitely the first time any sort of payment thing came out of a non-Steam game or a non-Valve game, I guess.
Yeah, and also something else to consider is the games that, or the mods that were like, you know, user created and were making money were also hand-picked by Valve. They were not open to anybody. Yep.
So they were contacted by Valve. I think something like a month or some.
It was a curated mod experience.
And they were given like a non NDA and everything, so it was all super secret, kept under wraps. So it has been, you know, planned for a while. But I think there are a couple things that were important to debate. I think so. Modders got a 25% cut. Valve Bethesda got the 75%. I'm not sure what the split between Valve and Bethesda was, but I assume Bethesda was the bigger portion of the split. And there was at first an option for donations on the workshop, I believe, and then it got taken down. And the way modders could charge was there's a slider function, which could say, you know, pay what you want sort of with a minimum you can set, or just a straight up fixed price. And so the first couple mods that were uploaded were, I guess, Wet and Cold, which adds like rain and environmental effects, and a bunch of armor mods. Those were the, and like weapon mods. So essentially skins, more or less.
Yeah.
I just want to point out, I think it's kind of fitting that the like armor mods were the first one to come up since Skyrim,
horse armor.
Skyrim was the first game to have DLC that was horse armor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, or, yeah, Oblivion. But, we need to point out that previously the mod community did have a way to purchase mods, which was Nexus or whatever the fuck it's called.
Well, it was not purchase mods. All of them were free. Donations were optional.
Oh, wait, on Nexus? I thought you could sell via Nexus as well.
Not that I know of. No, there were no paid mods on Nexus.
Oh, okay. So, well, so
that
essentially
would also be a violation of the EULA, I assume, to pay
for Bethesda?
User and license agreements.
From Bethesda? It wouldn't be Steam, it would be Bethesda, right?
No, I mean, like, if you were selling... Nexus isn't Bethesda affiliated, it's just a mod site.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, it'd probably be illegal to monetarily benefit off of mods without Bethesda's permission.
From Bethesda.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if I'm getting this right, this whole scheme, it got shut down, didn't it? Like, that's the end point?
They specifically said that this was not the right place and the right time and the right community to implement it. So they more or less said, yeah, we're going to do this in the future, but not we're taking
that is a bullshit reason, because pretty much the first thing that happened when this whole system went up. Okay, so before the system went up, there was a lot of like positive press and positive buzz from the communities of both, like, obviously of Steam, but also like NeoGAF and around the internet, just random places. About how cool this idea is, because like
really
monetizing mods. Yeah, there's a lot of positive buzz about
it. I did not catch on to that positive buzz
There is. This is a double edged knife. This is kind of like the Civil War, in which there's really no right side to it.
Exactly. So there was positive buzz going. People going, yes, this is awesome. We can finally buy mods and support mod makers. And then it happened, and people saw the 75%, 25% split.
Yeah.
And that does take into account the 30% split that Valve always takes, which is kind of fair, kind of not.
Considering they're providing the service, they are.
Exactly. Right. It's like iTunes or anything else, they take a cut. So what it works out is like 30% Valve, 45% developer, 25% mod maker.
Also, something else to consider, a lot of the mods, not a lot, but a fair number of the mods, especially some of the more crucial ones for Skyrim, are not up on the workshop, but are up on the Nexus.
The Nexus,
And the Nexus was approached by Valve, I guess, before this all went down, of just like basically Valve has a partnership program where if like I don't know the exact methods, but basically, like, you can get it on the Nexus, and Steam will give some of its cut, some of its 30% to the Nexus.
Hmm.
But yeah, so like that's just like that's a fourth like thing that was wanting to play, and right. This has caused like this whole craziness has caused a lot of mistrust and just like bickering from the mod community and the people on Steam Nexus.
Yeah.
Just
straight up, like, yeah. I don't think I'm the only one, but I'm one of the few that has always been very critical of Steam. And it started with the fact that Australians still get fucking jammed up the asses for all our prices. Like, holy shit, our prices are fucked up. To the point where if given the option, I did not buy games on Steam. Like, I just bought Witcher 3 straight from GOG. And guess what? A, it was just conversion rate price, but B, they also gave me $10 of credit for being overseas, right. Which is great. And I'm mostly paying directly to CD Projekt, which is what you want to do when you buy a game in the first place. So Valve, in many cases, isn't a white knight. They've had weird fucked up shit.
Well, yeah, they're a business. Quite a while. They're a business, yeah.
And people give Steam a free pass in a lot of ways because they're the biggest player in the house. Like, because
PC gamers are fucking fanboys who can't look past the fact that, you know, there are other things out there. And I only play on PC. I just want to put that out there. So don't assassinate me.
You're a PC guy, but and you know when something's on Steam, it's suddenly like this whole different echelon of thing.
Yes.
Versus if it's on anything else, like if it's on GOG or whatever.
Yeah.
So what you get is, you're right, Thorbleton, you do have this like weird conflict where Steam is perceived by a lot of the community as the good guys for whatever reason. Like, I don't think it's particularly well deserved. But they're also clearly a business with the right to charge 30% for shit that's on their store.
Right.
Bethesda's also the business that happened to make the fucking engine that all these mods are based off, for better or worse. What is the line here that goes, okay, 25% to the person who's actually making the new content is too fucked up?
I think
it's a very interesting conversation to have.
Personally, like, looking at a lot of things, I think for most people, they weren't really caring about the cut. They were more angry. I think it was very more of an emotional reaction, in the sense that I think they were right in the sense that when they pulled the mod, they were saying, you know, it was an established community. And I think there's a certain shitty feeling that you get when you have something that was always free and then suddenly you're being charged for the same product. And sort of understand, right? Like, the big outcry was like the modders, I think it was specifically Wen and Cold and a couple armor mods, like, they were being like harassed like horribly over Steam for what they did. Right. Like, they're selling out, whatever. And I think, like, a lot of people, you know, might say, oh man, I don't think it's fair to the modders. But I mean, that doesn't really change the fact that they're, like, you know, horribly against the idea. Because, you know, when you have something that was always free, and it's a very cherished community, like the modding community, because, like, I remember being like a kid and, you know, having Half-Life 2. And of course, I never really had money to buy video games. Like, modding was a great way to play games without having to pirate them or pay for them, right? They're free. Yeah. They're, you know, built on games that you already own. And it's like, it gives so much value to the game itself. And I think a big part of the Elder Scrolls franchise, especially after Oblivion, was like its moddability, right? You can add in your realistic horse vaginas, your anime-made mods. Like, it's all there. Yeah. You know, whatever the fuck your freak is, you can get it on in the game.
or just stuff like, you know, expanded weather, or maybe new campaigns.
Or even, brand new lands that adds like tens of hours of content, just, you know, minor things that change the UI. It just, I think the Nexus currently has like 800 million downloads for Skyrim mods so far, like cumulatively, which is an incredible amount, right? And that's just for PC. And that's why people often say, you know, like, when you're playing an Elder Scrolls or even a Bethesda game in general, like, PC's the way you play it, because there's so much things you can do on it as a platform. So I think much of it came from like this, like, immediate emotional betrayal that people felt, I guess. And I think a lot of hate was not just directed towards like Valve and Bethesda, but it was directly to the modders who decided to want to monetize their mods, being like, this doesn't deserve the money that you're charging for, right?
So this seems like a definite schism within the gaming community.
Yes, because absolutely.
Again, the larger gaming press and community was like, this is awesome. Yep. We get to actually support mod makers in a legitimate way and all that kind
of stuff. But the interesting thing is, even within like the modders themselves, not just the consumption of mods. Like if you saw like the big two modding sites like ModDB and the Nexus, they were both, I think they were both decidedly against paid mods, if I recall correctly. Right. I'm not completely sure about ModDB, but I mean, a lot of modders came out saying, we're totally against it. And one of the problems was, I think it was the phishing mod that got the most shit because they used assets from a different mod, right?
Right.
Which
was free.
Yeah. And of course, they can't contact the modder because they were under the NDA before releasing the mod. And Valve essentially said, you know, if it's free and, you know, if it's out there, you can use it in your mod and charge people for it. Because at the end of the day, it's what Bethesda's rights to do that.
Yeah.
So, that was the big, I think that was the big like scandal story. It's like, oh, you're not even using content. And like the content maker specifically said, you know, you can't charge for this. But of course, according to Valve and Bethesda, they're allowed to do it.
You can, which is the people who actually have
the rights to do it. So it's like this interesting split in the mod community. People think that it's like a, you know, like a public good kind of thing that everyone deserves.
It goes back to like, how much do we want the internet to be a lawless wasteland? And how much do we want people to be actually able to make a dime and make a living? Well, in order to make a living, there needs to be some orders and some rules. But then the mass majority don't like, they want chaos, and so they, you know, clamor for it. I realize like the pros and cons of it, like the it definitely causes a divide, even if like it is something that Valve comes back to and opens up again. It will cause a divide in the modding scene of just like we've come to, as a PC gaming, one of the tenets is like, hey, we have all these mods. They're these free things that anybody can make and put on there. I think the best approach is if Steam didn't do a partnership with Nexus and like basically Steam went for the service side of it, of like, hey, you can, we'll make it ease of access sort of thing on Steam, but you'll have to pay for it. Or you can go through this rigmarole of doing it for free on the Nexus.
I mean, I feel that's difficult considering like Nexus is a breeze relatively. Like, I've never had troubles. Like, they have a mod manager that's super well integrated. Now it's like doing quite well for itself. So I'd be hard pressed to see if Steam could like one up the Nexus.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it will.
It will because of the mentality behind
it's fucking Steam. Yeah,
really. You know, they've had their workshop out for a while now, and surprisingly, a lot of modders choose not to publish on the workshop.
Well, I mean, it may also be the thing of like the whole idea behind donating. Like, donation feels different than a purchase. I guess it's a weird sort of feeling. But then also just like. With Steam, not only is it like you're donating, I guess you're purchasing for it, but it's a centralized thing that you've used in the past that you know is a reliable source of like, you aren't worried about getting your, like your information is potentially more secure than it is with this third party thing that this modder has. And so that's actually like, I've wanted to donate to some mods, but the multi-step process opposed to just a one click button thing for Steam is what, and like inhibits that, like,
oh, totally.
And the other side of the thing, like the thing pro for the mod makers is they've had to, like, many a mod, including one of my favorite mods that I wish to this day was an actual game, Zombie Master, went to the wayside, became derelict because they aren't making enough money off donations and they aren't making they have to pay the bills.
I think it one that's actually a very cool point that isn't addressed by mod community because back in the day we used to fucking download Dragon Ball Z for CS and have amazing times fucking flying around playing as Goku for free, but those were the days where you could make a mod in like a couple of fucking months and it to be look as good as the on shelf product because the assets you're using were perfectly like capable to do in your own back, like in your own fucking living room or whatever. Nowadays, if you're like some mods out there are legitimately years and years of work by
voice
these dudes.
Acting, like programming, everything. Yeah.
And so like what you'll find is that if you allow these people to charge and get profit from actually doing this work, what you'll have is a more vibrant, better mod community.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people said. Like, my personal problem with that that line of thinking is I think it will definitely – I've always been under the assumption that it will definitely help top-end mods. I think your example, yeah. Zombie Master, would be perfect. It's like where a lot of time and effort has been put into it and people are willing to pay for it as a product, yeah. right? There's not a lot of – in it, but I think the problem is for a game like Skyrim where not all mods are huge packages of content, right? Mm-hmm. Some of them change the UI, yeah. but in a way that it's useful – but not yeah. in a way that you're going to charge $6 for it. But the fact of the matter is the modder's going to make people charge $6 for it, even if it gets less users. No, no. But the thing is, even if they're going to get users, because free mod, like getting no money and having 10,000 people download versus getting like $5 per download and getting 1,000 people to actually pay for it, the modder is probably going to choose the 5,000.
That's also right? the side of things that will kind of be dominated by free market politics, because the modder who sits out goes out there and go, I'll just charge 99 cents for my mod, will get more traction than the dude who does $6. And I don't think 99 cents is too much to ask for a full UI upgrade. Like some of those UI upgrades in Skyrim make it actually playable versus the basic product in
well,
some ways.
Like the biggest example, I guess, from the little demo they did was they had a fishing mod for like $7, right? And but the yeah. problem is, right, if modders decide to think – the problem is like the modders decide to think that's what they should charge for and nobody's really going to go and try to cut that out. The problem, yeah, yeah the problem is going to be that of course people will pay for it and people yeah. who are willing to pay for it. But I mean, if the paid modding wasn't instituted, otherwise it would have just been free and more people mm-hmm. could simply have access to it, right? Like I'm just thinking in the terms of like modding, I guess from my personal background of playing a lot of mods when I was younger, in the sense that it gives people options for people who aren't willing to pay for the mods, right? I think that you could get like the early mod collection package, and that was more expensive than the legendary edition of the game, and that was just a bunch of armor mods and a fishing mod. Which
do
is
want, do you want
same.
To hear a nightmare scenario to like this? That is a probability with this exact conversation you've been going with. let's take something like, you know, Watch Dogs or Dark Souls 1. Mm-hmm. Or any number of games that were originally designed on console and they had PC
oh, yeah.
ports.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
the big, yeah.
were terribly buggy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What if the developers decided not to try and patch it to make it run good and just wait until a mod comes yeah. out and then get
and
a 40% yeah. cut from that?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So PC users have to pay 60 plus 10, right. Let's say, what the mod mm-hmm. is.
Well, yeah, in terms of the yeah, fix in terms of, the feature. Of like that kind of like horrible moral dilemmas, like also, you know, if how do you prevent a mod from just completely breaking and then the developer abandoning after you buy it and it no longer works with your game updates, then you've yeah. just thrown your money away. There are a lot yeah. of horrible scenarios that unless, you know, for skins like that, like it's not a huge problem in the sense that, you know, updates usually don't break skins or items and they're better and they're actually curated by, I think, Valve. I think a big part of this, a big part of the complaints was like Valve are fucking shit at communications. Like they need to hire a proper PR person who isn't just yeah. a developer so they could actually plan this out and have, you know, maybe better ways to deal with the horrible flack than just end up, you know, running with their tails behind their backs.
I think they've begun to realize some of that with Dota 2, where like they they go silent for like months on end and then like they wonder why the community is really freaked out at them.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? We're just working. It's like, no, you need to tell us that you're working.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it just opens up a whole can of worms that, like, again, I think it's great for good, expensive mods, but I'm very hesitant to say if that would be the same for the vast majority of mods, which don't necessarily, you know, merit a price tag. But if, you know, people had the ability to charge for it, people would. And a lot of people would be unable to pay for it, I think. And I think, like, the prime example that was used was there's a mod called SkyUI, which has, like, a mod manager within the game itself to manage your mods.
Yeah, that's right. The one that was yeah. not available on Workshop, but was available on the Nexus.
Exactly. So it's, like, something like that. A lot of mods depend on it, right? So let's say because all of these mods depend on that platform, they get to charge $25 for it. And then there's immediately a barrier to modding in general because something that's like super, like actually required for a lot of mods requires payment for, which adds a whole nother level of, you know, a paywall before even entering modding after paying the
$80. I think this is another case where I kind of see where Valve is coming from because I can see the market self-balancing this shit out. Like, if they did charge $25 for that, like that one more, they would see the fact that like much fewer people download it, or people just start fucking pirating.
Well, no, but
that's just going to happen.
Well, no, but this is within a community that already has mods out, right? Not a brand new community. So I mean, like, if they spend or they force people to pay money, right? Then you can't really do about it anything about it because 85% of the mods already require it. So it's a little bit of an issue.
But then you just get piracy. Like this whole circle has played out before and will play out again, as in the Wheel of Time. In that it's happened with the music industry, it's happened with this. I honestly think.
And then I'm thinking of DRM mods. I don't want that.
That's going to happen. That is going to happen shit, once they start being paid.
See, that's why it's a bad stop. DRM. No. I think what a better option personally is, I think Bethesda should reach out to those good mod makers and just, I would be perfectly fine paying, you know, $5 for a mod that's actually DLC sized. I don't think it should be a free for all in the sense I think there should be, even like TF2 hats and things like that. There's curation by Valve. Specifically with this, they tried to have the community curate it. And what happened is the community made a bunch of mods that add paywalls to the game on purpose, like as a joke in protest. And it just sort of like, it's the fucking internet, right? It's not actual people relying on things that are for real. So people aren't going to take it seriously, and there's no way you're going to be able to curate it properly. I mean, look, that Command Modern Air Naval Operations game, look at the primary recommendation for that game. Do you like Call of Duty? Do you have $80? You can buy it. Like, the Steam community can't be trusted.
No. Yeah. Oh. All right. That was an interesting discussion. Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey guys, Oculus Rift's coming out in 2016. Moving on.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's dumb. That's my only statement.
Steam VR, whatever.
Steam VR is going to fucking eat their cake.
You know what? Let there be competition. That's the one thing I want.
I think it's dumb. I think it's dumb.
You know what else is possible competition with Oculus Rift and Steam VR? HoloLens.
Yeah.
Why is it actually good?
Surprise.
Oh, that's why it says impressions.
Yeah. It's well, I haven't used it personally, but tester.com and a couple other websites with none other than Will Smith of Bad Boys fame. Speaking of James Cameron. Oh, no, but James Cameron? No.
No.
No?
Michael Bay.
No. Michael Bay. I always get those two confused. I have actually put out like a half an hour video which actually goes into HoloLens in depth along with those other sites which have pretty extensive write-ups. And apparently it is actually quite good. Like very, very high. Like the main problem with it is moving your head with large angular displacements of your head and how quickly it takes to catch up with how far you've moved your head. Not small angular displacements, that tends to be pretty seamless, but large angular displacements, especially if the thing that's projecting into virtual space in front of you. Okay, we should probably rewind. HoloLens is Microsoft's AR, augmented reality, look through these glasses to see the world plus system that's not quite competing with VR because it's AR rather than VR in that it doesn't consume your entire field of view. It's rather just something projected in front of you, much like Google Glass. So apparently when it projects stuff, it seems almost opaque in how well, like how good the projectors are inside HoloLens.
Wow.
It's also very high fidelity. You can, for the example Will Smith uses is like, imagine if you get like a newspaper and scrunch it up and throw it to the other side of the room. With HoloLens, you can still see the fact that there are letters on that newspaper on the other side of the room.
Jeez.
Dang.
So it's actually very high fidelity, very smooth. Not in terms of, again, that angular displacement and movement of the things you're projecting within that angular displacement. But say, for example, you've, cause there's a couple ways to work it. And again, watch the video if you want more detail. But for example, you can attach what you're projecting to an object and have it just stay there and it be there in your virtual world. So if you turn your head all the way to the right, it will just go out of your field of view. Or you can have it float in midair at some specific distance from you. I believe when you have it attached to a single point, it has less issues because it doesn't have to re-render as much. So movement of your head with that thing in your field of view is very smooth. But when you have it floating in front of you or in a specific distance away or projected onto something that's moving, then you have some issues in terms of it catching up. But in terms of fidelity and overall like selling the product, it's supposedly fantastic. What do you guys think? Like, does that make you more interested in AR if it actually is delivering on the promise?
I don't want to be in my dirty room when I'm playing video games. That's my problem. Genuinely, I mean, again, I think we talked about this. Like, I think this is great for like actual things. Like, this is way more useful than VR for like doctors or something, or like business people or what. I think you'll
productivity.
Have a practical, yeah, but. Yeah. I mean, for video games, like, do you really want to play Minecraft in your toilet? That's questionable for me.
I like the whole like looking into the floor doesn't seem like that compelling a thing to me. But the fact that it hooks into Windows 10 and has a bunch of like other interesting things to it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more. Like optimization in terms of things it works with, probably. Yeah, I guess
it could just be like. Like, I'm sitting here contemplating a 65-inch TV. This could be the thing that makes me go, fuck, I shouldn't have bought that 65-inch TV. If it works out well, right? If it's, like, amazing and you can actually – it actually projects what looks like a 65-inch TV into your living room.
I think what's going to make you think that is right after you buy the 65-inch TV.
No, it's after I play The Witcher 3 and go, okay, I'm not actually that interested in this game because I don't have time. That's when – the problems will arise, but yeah, it seems cool. I love the idea that it's not shit. I love this hopeful future that this is projecting within myself. Until we find out it has like 1 hour of battery life or whatever,
it needs to be connected to a wall.
You have to plug in.
At the moment, I'm just like really, really interested. That's really all I have to say about Hololens. Anything else from you guys? Any other cats with impressions or ideas?
I mean, I'm still hoping for like the Minority Report. You like put your hand on the piece of glass and you can like see video calls. That would be badass. But
oh, that's one of the weirdest things about HoloLens. It doesn't have occlusion yet, at least not this first pass. So if you're projecting something, say 1 foot from your face, and you put your hand between you and that thing that you're projecting into space, you won't actually be able to see your hand.
That's insane.
And that's weird. It works out really weird, and your mind gets freaked out. They're hoping to have like the next.
Maybe I'll get that just for that experience. Maybe.
Yeah. So like you can straight up set up a situation where you're playing a live feed video of what's in front of you on those glasses, and you can just look down and look invisible.
So true.
Yeah. So, but that's the thing, right? It's one of those features that they are expecting to have in HoloLens 2 and HoloLens 3, and it's kind of started like. Finally setting out that roadmap of where AR is going in the next couple of years, which is kind of interesting. One of the major problems with it is, however, the fact that it's not field of view feeling like obviously VR would be. So it's the way they describe it is imagine like setting your hands in like that photo capturing kind of pose, like two L shapes, and having that about 18 inches apart and putting that about that plane about a foot from your face. That's the field of view it projects. So there's a lot of side that you can see around. But the good thing of that is because it's such a small area and you can see a lot of your periphery, it reduces the jarring effect from not having that good of frame rate because your mind is still able to take into the actual real world alongside it. So
was it connected to anything? Or is it like Bluetooth? Is it Wi-Fi? Like how exactly is it?
So it's got a new – well, the idea is that the new Intel Atom processor in it. It's actually pretty much a full-fledged laptop PC.
Oh, so it's not going to be great for playing games is
no,
what they're already
no, not at all.
Saying.
It's I believe, going to be one of those recipients of the Windows 10 like streaming media Xbox streaming thing. So you can stream it to there. It is going to be like something that – works with your PC in delivering content, and that could be very interesting in my opinion. I was actually I have one friend who is actually more interested in this than VR
really
for
video games or for just
for just like the way he uses computers, like he watches lots of videos
For computer use I think I would far prefer this to VR, but I mean
like I can totally see myself video games having YouTube always open.
Yeah.
Always. Yep. May as well. Like, why the fuck not? Yeah. It's like the back of the days where you have TVs always on.
Half a terabyte of porn always on my head. That'd be amazing.
I just want the image of the family sitting around the table, not with their phones out, but like staring to space.
One of them is just watching porn.
With HoloLens on. And then you're the one rebel kid with like the blue hair and like full VR goggles on because he's different. And everyone else is like, yeah, that'd be fucking cool.
I'm just reminded of Dan Reichert's pre-joining Giant Bomb story during E3 of trying out Google Glass and Butt Tumblr.
ButtTumblr.com.
Yes, discovering a person who just had Butt Tumblr on his Google Glass while at E3.
So good.
Do we have any other news topics? Can we end this?
That's it. That was it. That was my two additions. All right. If you don't want me to get a 65-inch TV,
please tweet at tweet the Linkincast.
At the Linkincast.
What if we want you to get two?
Then tweet at the Linkincast. Really we'll see how far Witcher, we can push this.
Witcher is just a shit game, just so you're ruined. You're just ruined.
But after Witcher, there'll be other games like fucking Uncharted 4. Imagine Uncharted 4 on the 65
4K, is it?
No, it's not. None of these games are 4K. I can't run The Witcher at 4K.
Oh, that's why I thought you were just going to get like a Titan X along with it.
No, I'm getting 4K to future proof it to some extent.
Okay.
Because Oculus is 4K. So once, essentially, when you, or Vive is like 2K plus or whatever. So essentially, when you get graphics cards that are able to run VR well enough, those will also be able to run normal games on a TV that big well enough as well. So I'm somewhat future proofing.
New Romo, do you have any plugs?
PC Gaming Hub, come follow our video game curation on Steam.
Oh yeah.
Join the thing. Come on the Mumble. We need people to talk. Everyone stopped coming on after I did something really bad on there. No, I'm just kidding. And also, if you want to play GTA on the PC, we have a GTA clan crew thing. Yeah. It's on the Steam page or the Steam group for the Gaming Hub. So just search up Giant Bomb PC Gaming Hub Steam and you'll be able to find it. So come play video games with us. That'd be great.
Nice.
Good times. Mitch, do you have any plugs? Play League, I guess?
Yeah, play League. There's a big tournament going on right now, so that's pretty cool. Like a Worlds tournament. So
like the International, but for League?
Kind of. This is like the Invitational, so this is not the big one, which happens at the end of the summer. This is like the preseason, I guess you could say. Like exhibition games.
Okay.
But it's everybody from around the world, so it's pretty cool.
You don't actually know what the International is, do you?
It's from Dota, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
this probably knows more than me.
It's the baby version of League World.
Whoa.
Caveat aside. Yeah, okay. So they were like, oh, we had like 40,000 people or whatever watching the Dota Worlds or whatever it was. That's like every week of the split for League of Legends.
What's the prize pool? What's the prize pool?
It's not crowdfunded, so it's obviously not as big because they don't have people that can just throw them up anyway for nothing.
I need to compete with you. I don't even.
I mean, they say like, is League of Legends for babies.
Yeah,
and baby, no one has money.
Baby boy.
I don't even play Dota. Fine. I hate MOBAs, but I just want to say something mean to everybody.
That's okay. I understand. Yeah, it's the most toxic community, pretty much ever.
Bear.
And I think it's the greatest thing ever to just troll people. Anyway, sorry.
High five.
Cynic, any plugs?
The Sony XBR65X 850B is the ultimate 4K TV if you're looking to spend your money on shitty products that you won't use as much as you think you will. Also, it has 17 ms response turnaround, which is pretty fucking great for a LCD TV, and I'm probably gonna buy it. Don't look at me that way. Stop looking at me that way.
I can't.
All right, and my plug will be Black Mesa Source was a mod that was actually available a year ago, if not more. And they've taken a step to put themselves on Steam for early access, in fact, so you can donate by purchasing their mod on Steam, and they're trying to make it like a full-fledged thing. They've gotten, I guess, the approval of Valve since they're on Steam, but anybody who doesn't know, it is effectively an up-res of Half-Life 1. They've gone ahead and added a multiplayer mode to it as well, but the single-player campaign is complete up until Zen. The basically reason why they haven't finished it is because, as anybody who's played Half-Life knows, Zen's kind of crap. And so I think they're trying to reimagine the way Zen was designed by level. And so that might not be that's going to be a spiritual successor rather than a faithful recreation. Everything else, though, freaking awesome. It's great. And the trailer is really, like, on the nose, too, because it looks like a 70s, like, advertisement to join Black Mesa.
Nice.
Like, TV commercial. Nice. It's great. It's great. Anyway, I think that'll do it. Bye.
This TV comes with two 3D glasses. I do remember those are a thing. Those are a thing.
It's really worth it, then. So okay, I've totally reevaluated.
Is it a 3D TV? I thought those were...
Apparently all 3Ds are now like fucking 3D TVs or some shit. Because it comes with two fucking pairs of glasses
now it's
that I don't know if I'll ever use.
You should spend all of your...
Now I kind of have to use it. Now I have to look for like...
No, you know what it's going to be? Like 1 month into it, you're going to lose both of those glasses and then to buy another one. That's
I mean, you might as well just like have an entire wall covered as a TV. I mean, you know what? Just get like all four walls and just go full Fahrenheit 451 on this.
I've been Googling during this podcast is $4,500 for a 3000 Luma 4K projector.
I've been playing Guacamelee.
I've been organizing my collection.
Which collection is that?
If you ever wondered why the Scotchcast is such high quality, there you go, kids. There you go.
Don't do it.
Fuck. No, I'm gonna do it. You don't understand.
Yeah, you don't really. He's going to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I just have to figure out whether I want this TV or the $7,500 TV that's coming out in a couple months.
You don't want any of them?
Both?
That's a good question. That's good. I wonder how easy it is to sell a TV.
It's gonna just be the buy this one now chaos.
And sell it and fucking get another one later.
No, I already know it. Just have extend the displays. It's fine.
That'd be crazy. I don't have big enough living room for that.
Just no, every wall. You could just walk in.
At some point, you hit the physical limits of the place you live. You can no longer fit that many huge TVs.
God,
you're buying a car, right? So there you go.
That's true. I can just put
just
one
fit
in that car.
fit it in the Tesla. Yeah.
Yeah. Put it. Cover the windshield and then have webcams.
I shouldn't buy a Tesla.
Car.
That's a bad idea.
No, you don't need a Tesla. Do you even have fucking electric charging stations?
No, I don't.
Why the hell would you buy a Tesla? You're just going to be stranded in the middle of the desert and then you're going to die.
My garage is like an underground lockup garage. There's no way for me to get a fucking
you can get solar panels there. Yeah.
Down there. Yeah. Fuck. Bad ideas. That's not to figure out how to fucking goddamn use this phone.
Figure that out first before you get a television.
Fucking hell! No, I'm gonna be doing them simultaneously. I'm googling ways to. I have to figure out my finances before I get that TV. But it's gonna happen. Whether it happens before the 19th or not is a different.
I'm
question.
Surprised you're actually trying to figure out your finances before the television. I thought.
Of course.
It would be,
what? I'm not that crazy. Don't underestimate me, Diorama. Okay. I. I'm financially responsible. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You're financially responsible in that you are not responsible for anything other than yourself.
Exactly. I have no kids. Don't give a fuck. I'm on 80 grand a year with no kids. This is the best.
I want that like a quote from you. Can you put that on a business card?